मनोविष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। हरे कृष्णा, वेलकम बैक टू आवर भक्तिशास्त्री कोर्स। विल बी डिस्कसिंग द लास्ट अमॉन्ग द 64 आइटम्स ऑफ डिवोशनल सर्विस। सो टिल नाउ वी हैव डिस्कस्ड वेरियस आइटम्स व्हिच डेमोन्स्ट्रेट हाउ there can the bhava, the devotional emotion towards Krishna, can be evoked by various activities when they are done with a proper attitude. Let's now look at this chapter 12, which Srila Prabhupada has entitled as Further Aspects of Transcendental Service. So here we will see hearing the revealed scriptures. So normally in our den offenses we say talk about the Vedic scriptures. So Vedic scriptures and books that are in pursuance of the Vedic version. That means that Srila Prabhupada's books are also a Vedic scripture because they are telling us the same message. You know, the Vedas themselves, the letters, I mean the Vedas, Rig Veda and other Vedas are meant to be recited. And they are very precise and specific, even each pronunciation in letter. And they were memorized in multiple ways so that the exact letter could be preserved. And the potency there is primarily in the precise recitation. Whereas in the Puranas and the Itihasas, they are also recited, no doubt, but the focus there is on meaning. And the Puranas and Itihasas are a open-ended body of literature. Open-ended means the Acharyas comment on it. In fact, the very word Smriti indicates that which is remembered and then explained. So Bhakti Sanskrit Thakur would give the example that just as a person may change the dress according to the season, so similarly the same knowledge is explained differently by different acharyas. That means a different dressing is given to the same knowledge according to time, place, circumstance. So that means the scriptures are a open-ended body of knowledge. So the Goswamis wrote books, those books are also scriptures. Then subsequent acharyas like Vishwanatha Thakur have written books, they are also scriptures. Srila Prabhupada has written books, they are also scriptures. So scriptures are an evolving body of knowledge. And Prabhupada makes this clear when he says that any book which gives enlightenment in the matter of advancing in devotional service is considered to be revealed scripture. And then Prabhupada gives Madhvacharya's list, and then he offers us and any other literature written in pursuance of the review of such revealed scriptures. And then there are references which substantiate this point. And then Prabhupada quotes one of the Phalashruti verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam. यद् रसामृत तृप्तस्य नान्यद्रति सात् क्वचित्। यद् रसामृत तृप्तस्य, दैट द भागवतम स्टार्ट्स विद सेइंग दैट पिबत भागवत रसालयम् मुहुरहो रसिका भुवि भावुका, दैट्स 1.1.3। सो रिलिश द नेक्टर रस, एंड देन इट एंड वन ऑफ द वर्सेस टुवर्ड्स द एंड ऑफ द भागवतम, इट्स 12th कैंटो 13th चैप्टर 15th वर्सेस टुवर्ड्स द एंड ऑफ द भागवतम, ही सेज दैट Yad rasamrit triptasya. Once one has relished this taste, then what will happen? Nanyatra syadati kvachit. One will not have any taste for anything else because this is so captivating that one is elevated to a different level of purification and elevation where nothing else remains appealing. Then there is residing in Mathura. So this is especially talking about the emphasis of this verse is that it's referring specifically to Mathura. One can go to many holy places, but now there is a reference over here. You look at the Brahmanda Puran reference. What is it saying in the Brahmanda Puran? It said that all the results of traveling to all the pilgrimages in the three worlds can be achieved by simply by touching the holy land of Mathura. So we discussed earlier also in the Upadeshamrut by Rupa Goswami about how all there may be many pure holy places, And they may all have enormous potency, but still there is a hierarchy. And there, Vaikuntha Janito Vara Tatra Pirasotsava. So like that, Mathura Puri, and then it goes on to Rasotsava. There's a whole long verse over there. So how Vaikuntha is great, but above that is Mathura Puri. That's where Krishna appeared. And above that is the 12 forests of Vrindavan. Above that is Govardhan. Above that is, actually above that, like that there is a whole hierarchy. There are the 12 forests of Vrindavan, there is Govardhan, and finally there is Radhakund. So, like in the hierarchy, if we take it further, there are many, many holy places, but the Mathura Mandal, where Krishna personally descended and performed his various pastimes, Mathura Mandal includes Vrindavan, that is very special. Then we have rendering service to devotees. So, Prabhupada quotes the famous verse, famous verse which is Lord Shiva telling Parvati in the Padma Puran. He says, Aradhananam Sarvesham Vishnur Aradhanam Param Tasmat Parataram Devi Tadiyanam Samarchanam. So Lord Shiva is telling Parvati here, Aradhanam Sarvesham, among all the kinds of Aradhana, Sarvesham. There are many, many different forms of Aradhana. We have discussed how Vedic culture offers multi-level worship. Vishnur Aradhanam Param. What is supreme is the Aradhana of Vishnu. That is supreme. And Tasmat Parataram Devi. And higher than that also is Tadiyanam Samarchanam. Tadiyanam. Tadiya means associated with. Here specifically it refers to devotees. Why? Because Prabhupada would give the example that, you know, if you want to please a millionaire, what can you do for the millionaire? It's very difficult to please the millionaire. But if you please the dog of the millionaire and give some treat to that dog, the dog starts wagging the tail and becomes very happy, then the master also becomes happy. So, like that, the way to the heart of Krishna is through the heart of his devotees. Krishna is Lakshmipati, he doesn't need anything. But if we associate, if we serve his devotees, do something for them which they need, then Krishna becomes very pleased by that. So, that's why rendering service to devotees is so important. And then, ye me bhakta jana partha, name bhakta shite jana. Mad bhaktanam cha ye bhaktas, te me bhakta jana smrita. In the Adi Puran, Lord Krishna tells Arjuna, ye me bhakta jana partha, those who think they are my devotees, name bhakta shite jana, they are not actually my devotees. So it seems like a paradoxical statement. Those who are my devotees are not my devotees. What does it mean? He says, no. He says, those who claim to be my devotees are not my devotees, but those who say they are the devotees of my devotees, they are the servants of my devotees. Bhaktanam cha ye bhaktas. Those are the devotees of my devotees. Te me bhakta jana smritaha. They are actually my devotees. So the way to Krishna is through his devotees. And that's why rendering service to them is extremely important. And in fact, you know, Krishna consciousness becomes a real, tangible, appealing when we are in the association of devotees, especially advanced devotees for who are living Krishna in Krishna consciousness. And then there are many verses like that, a significant list of verses there. So I quote this, describe this verse also, Adi Purana verse also like that. There are all these verses from the Bhagavatam also. Then just by, even by remembering the activity of such a devotee, one can become purified. What then can be said of rendering service to that devotee? Such are the glories of associating with the, of not just associating with devotees, but serving the devotees. So there's a difference here between associating with devotees and serving devotees. Generally, association should lead to service, no doubt. But associating can also mean hearing from the devotees. Hearing is also one form of service, of course. When we go to our spiritual master, and often we may not get the opportunity to do any direct service to him. That's what we may feel. But if we are getting the opportunity to hear from him, that is also a service. Now, reading Srila Prabhupada's books also is a service. Hearing the lectures of a Vaishnava is also a service to that Vaishnava. So, because that devotee is rendering service to Krishna by speaking about Krishna, and we are rendering service to Krishna and that devotee by hearing about Krishna. So, service is what unites devotees with Krishna at the center. And hearing and chanting are services like that. So, hearing is also one service, but here this verse can refer to specific service to Vaishnavas. Then, serving the Lord according to one's position. So, here serve, the word title may seem a little, from the title it may seem unclear what it is referring to, but if you look at what Prabhupada is saying, perform the ceremonies for the Lord according to one's financial position. What does it mean? So there are now festivals like Janmashtami. Now, in the early days of the movement, when Srila Prabhupada was present, and for some time immediately after that, ISKCON was a temple-based movement. So all the festivals are celebrated in the temple itself. But over now, ISKCON has expanded and it's more a congregation-based movement. And there are different parts. In one city, there may be many temples, or even if there's one big temple, there may be different communities in different parts of the city, centered around some programs in those communities, those particular areas. So now when a festival is celebrated, a big festival may be celebrated in the temple, say Janmashtami. But then local devotees in different areas of the city may celebrate Janmashtami separately also. So this refers to celebrating the festivals of the Lord. The advantage of having different celebrations is that people who are not ready to come to the temple, people may not want to travel so much distance, or people may not want to get too much into the crowds which are there when they're big festivals in big temples. So they may come for little smaller programs in the houses, or organized by in the houses of those whom are their acquaintances, or in localities which they are more familiar with. So that way, you know, Krishna's mercy, which is specially available on holy days, can be made accessible to more and more people. So even in one's own house, one can, if Govardhan Puja is there, say, now one can cook some bhoga and give it to the temple deities. And similarly, one can have Govardhan Puja at one's home also, and cook items and make a Govardhan of those items. So that is the idea of celebrating festivals according to one's capacity. Now, in general, when we have deities at home, our home deities should be considered expansions of the temple deities. But expansions are not meant to act as equivalent replacements. That means, in general, when we have deities in our home, that should be to expand our service to Krishna, not to replace our going to the temple. That means that whenever there are major festivals, we should prefer to go to the temple. But along with that, the progression is that yes, Krishna is in the temple, but I want Krishna to be in my home also. So Krishna as a deity is in the temple, and the same Krishna, when we have a to serve and the senior Vaishnavas bless, then that same Krishna manifests as a deity in our house. So whenever we have the opportunity to serve the deities in the temple, we should take that opportunity. And when that is not possible, then we also have at our home deities. Just so that we can serve the deities at home, that we shouldn't stop going to the temple for programs. We shouldn't have alternate festivals, each festival at our home, and think that now I have no need to go to the temple. Of course, once a person starts a separate center, so there's a huge significant distance between the temple and a different center, then if this is going to become a separate center where there are many devotees coming and it's growing, then that may be a different issue. And one can talk with the local authorities and finalize the things. But in general, the idea is that every devotee should contribute to celebrating the festivals of the Lord, whether that celebration is in the temple or in one's home or in one's community. That will vary. In general, the mood of a devotee should always be to increase one's devotional service. So if we can increase one's devotion, increase our devotional service by having deities at home, certainly we can have deities. And if we can increase our devotional service by celebrating festivals at our home or in our community, certainly we can do that also. The idea is that we should not use one form of service as an excuse for minimizing another form of service. So the way we are best devotionally nourished, that is what we should see based on Guru Sadhu Shastra, and render service accordingly. Now, there's a very important way, Urjavrata, performing devotional service in Kartik. One of the most important of the ceremonial functions is called Urjavrata. So Urjavrata, actually the month of Kartik is said to be the month of Radharani. It is also called the Damodar Mas. This is the month in which there are maximum Vaishnava festivals, right from the beginning when there is Gopashtami and there's Govardhan Puja, and right in the heart of Kartik we have Srila Prabhupada's disappearance. And then the many, many festivals are there in this one month. And not only are there many festivals, but the whole month itself is a festival. Because we, throughout the month, we sing the Damodar Ashtaka and offer the lamb to Lord Damodar. And there are many, many, this is the last month of Chaturmas. Now, in general, the Bhavata Bhakti is not a path of austerity. But austerity, to the extent is anukul to bhakti, that is accepted. So, some of our acharyas have observed Chaturmas quite very strictly. We know Bhakti Siddhanta Swami Thakur, before he took on very vigorous preaching, you know, he would observe Chaturmas very severely. You know, he would just, once a day, he would just, when one mouthful, whatever he would be able to eat, he would just, with his hands, with his mouth directly on the floor, whatever would be there on the floor, he would eat like that. And very strictly he would do. So that was not what he recommended later on when he became a spiritual master and had disciples. But the principle is, Chaturmas is a time for austerity. And the last month in Chaturmas is Kartik. So devotees often do different kinds of ratam, chanting extra rounds, reading more of the scriptures, or going to yatras. Kartik is a time when many devotees try to make it, arrange their life in such a way that they can go to Vrindavan and have darshan of the deities there, be there for many of the important festivals. It's a very spiritually potent month. And Kartik Mahatmya is a section which is quite well known from the Padma Purana and gives various glories of Kartik, innumerable glories in fact. And the last 5 days of the Kartik, which are also the last 5 days of the four Chaturmas, they are called as Bhishma Vrata. And they are also filled with spiritual potency. And devotees who can observe special vratas on those days, they can all get very, very great spiritual benefits by that. So performing devotional service in Kartik, that's what is mentioned over here. So here Prabhupada quotes from the Padma Purana. Rupa Goswami has said, the Lord may offer liberation or material happiness to a devotee, but after devotional service has been executed, particularly in Mathura during the month of Vrindavan, the devotees want only to attain pure devotional service unto the Lord. So what does this mean? Now we may wonder sometimes when we perform devotional service, what is the result of that? One time Srila Prabhupada was asked, Prabhupada, what is the result of this chanting? So Prabhupada said, more chanting. What does it mean? That when we chant, our love for Krishna increases. And when our love for Krishna increases, we want to stay more and more connected with Krishna. And the way we stay connected with Krishna is by chanting more. So that's how chanting leads to more chanting. So similarly, what is the success of our devotional service? The success is not that people come and praise us. Yes, some people may come and praise us also. But that is not the primary success. That is not the goal with which we do service. The success of devotional service is that our desire to serve Krishna increases, our attraction to Krishna increases. We want to do more and more for Krishna. So what happens is, if we render service in Kartik, as this Padma Purana verse is saying, then we get such a taste in service. Our desire for Krishna and service to Krishna increases so much that other desire, like the desires for material enjoyment and the desires for liberation, they get just kicked out of the heart. They have no more any place in the heart, and one simply aspires for pure devotional service. So that's how it is. Then now the next point is observing festivals celebrating the Lord's activities. Now this may seem similar to the earlier point which I mentioned over here, serving the Lord according to one's position. They also perform the ceremonies, but this specifically refers to Krishna Janma Dina Mahotsav. That's the Sanskrit wording is like that. It refers to the festival Janmashtami. And if you look at the reference also, what is said? The Bhavishya Purana is put in, My Lord Janardana, please let us know the date when your mother, Devaki Devi, gave birth to you. If you kindly inform us about this, then we shall observe a great celebration on this date. We, O killer of Keshi, we are souls 100% surrender unto your lotus feet, and we wish only to please you with our ceremonies. Just like if we have a friend, we ask a friend, when is your birthday, please tell me. So here, this is like that in Bhavishya Purana. It's much more reverential mood, but still, the idea is the same. My dear Lord, we want to celebrate your appearance, celebrate the festivals glorifying your merciful descent to this world. So the reference specifically talks about Janmashtami. Now Janmashtami is the day when Krishna, as in Janma Ashtami, the 8th day of the month, Krishna appeared on that day. Now when Krishna appears, it's a momentous occasion. It's a thrilling moment in the life of a devotee, because that very descent of Krishna is one of the strongest evidences of Krishna's love for all living beings. It is because Krishna loves all of us, that's why he descends to this world, and he descends and gives his mercy to everyone. He performs pastimes, he establishes dharma, and he actually leaves a legacy for a long, long time to come, for subsequent generations of devotees and aspiring devotees to hear about his pastimes and thereby become purified and ultimately liberated. So that's why this being a so naturally, because we love a person, we want to celebrate that person's birthday. That's natural love. But when it comes to Krishna, it's even more special, because Krishna has specially descended for us, descended to elevate us. Then there is serving the deity with great devotion. Now, from Adi Purana, it's quoted, a person who is constantly engaged in chanting the holy name and who feels transcendental pleasure, being engaged in devotional service, is certainly awarded the facilities of devotional service and is never given just mukti. So the point here is that the serving the deity takes one beyond mukti and takes one far, far ahead. We'll come back to this item when we talk about deity worship in the 5 potent forms of devotional service. And then now recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam among devotees. So now this is a long item, but the essential point here is that Bhagavatam is what enables us to connect with Bhagavan in one of the most important ways, through Shravanam Kirtanam. And so we see that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Gadadhar Pandit, they would recite Srimad Bhagavatam so intensely, and they would sit hours and hours together. And later on, when they would be reciting Srimad Bhagavatam, both of them would have tears in their eyes, and Gadadhar Pandit's copy of Srimad Bhagavatam, the copy was still there, but because of the tears, the text of the Srimad Bhagavatam had got washed. The text had got washed away from the book. The words had got washed away. Such was their ecstasy. And this ecstasy comes for advanced devotees. But we also, if we keep practicing Krishna consciousness sincerely, then we also slowly but surely start getting a taste. And that taste goes deeper and deeper as we move forward in our spiritual life. Then there is associating with advanced devotees. So here, now these items, when we look at these items, these same items or similar items will come in the next item also. We'll look at this. So chanting the holy name and living in Mathura. So let's look at the 5 potent forms of devotional service. Go ahead, and these 5 items are repeated again. Now these are the last 5 items, and to some extent, the earlier items that have been mentioned, they are repeated here. But it's not exactly the same thing that is being repeated. There are subtle differences. And even if there are some similarities, the similarities are also meant to drive home the point that this is so important. Srila Prabhupada writes in one of the purports of the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, there is some of the qualities of the soul are repeated. And those qualities of the soul are repeated because this is so important to understand. The soul is, for example, avinashito tadviddi, or for example, ajo nitya shashato yam purana, nahanyate hanyamane sharire. So avinashi is said once in 2.17, nahanyate is said again in 2.20. So like that, there is a repetition. And Prabhupada writes, repetition of a point is necessary to make sure that there is no ambiguity in understanding it, that the point is clear. So for that purpose, the repetition is sometimes done. And similarly, here actually, if we go technically into the Sanskrit and look at points carefully, we'll see that there is no repetition. There are subtle differences. But even if we don't go into the Sanskrit technicalities, and even if we feel that there is some repetition, that repetition is not necessarily undesirable, because that repetition drives home the emphasis of the point to be conveyed. Just like we have it in Harir Nama, Harir Nama, Harir Nameva Kevalam, Nastieva, Nastieva, Nastieva Gatiranyatha, Harir Nama, Harir Nama, Harir Nama Eva Kevalam. So Harir Nama, the name of Lord Hari. Chant the name of Lord Hari. So what is happening in this verse is Harir Nama, Harir Nama, Harir Nama. That is said 3 times. And then Kevalam, as if to emphasize it, Kevalam is said. that only the holy name. So now this itself, first saying it three times, and then kevalam, and then as if that were not enough, further what is said? Nasti eva, nasti eva, nasti eva. There is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way. Nasti eva, nasti eva, gatir anyatha, anyatha. There is no other way available. So like that, the repetition doesn't necessarily indicate something wrong. Repetition simply indicates that there is this point which is extremely important. So what are the five potent forms of devotional service? Five potent forms of devotional service. Let's look at these items now. Yeah. So Mathura Mandale Stiti, Shri Murtir Angri Shrevana, Shri Bhagwat Bhagwat Artha Aswada, Shri Nama Sankirtanam, Sajati Asa Snigdha, Shri Bhagwat Bhakta Sangha. Sajati Asya Snigdha, Shri Bhagwat Bhakta Sangha. So let us look at these points. Mathura Mandale Stiti. Mathura Mandal is the area of Mathura, to live in that Mathura place. Then Shri Murtir, Shri Murti is the deity. Angri Srevane. Angri is the lotus feet. Then Shri Bhagwat Artha. Artha is the meaning. Now we just don't understand the meaning, but Aswada, we relish the meaning. This Pibatar Bhagwata Rasa Alayam. So like that, Artha Aswada. So Shri Bhagwat Artha Aswada. And then Shri Rama Sankirtana, that's straightforward enough. And this is a very deep point. Shri Bhagwat Bhakta Sangha, that is there. But then Sajatiya Asya Snigdha Shri Bhagwat Bhakta Sangha. Sajatiya. Sajatiya means of the same category. Snigdha. So it's associating with devotees, serving with devotees. Sajatiya. Sajatiya means that Sajatiya. Jati actually means, you could say it simply means caste, but actually the meaning is much deeper over here. We know that the castes were decided by not just by birth but by psychophysical orientation. So people who have a propensity to be intellectual and to study are classed as Brahmanas, and like the same for different classes, so actually different castes. So we could say the castes are more of human types. Now there are humans of different types. There is one human type that is intellectual. There is another human type that is administrative, and like that there are different human types. So serving a devotee refers to Sajatiyasya. So what it refers to is that when we are in the association of devotees, we need the association of like-minded devotees. If I am a book distributor and I associate with somebody who is a temple constructor, then I'll say that one of the most important services is book distribution. And then that was no. Okay, books will be good. But after reading books, what? People have to come somewhere. We need temples. We need magnificent temples. Only then people will come and people will be attracted and people will become devotees. So there can be conflict. Now both are right. Srila Prabhupada at different times emphasized different things. Srila Prabhupada had a habit of encouraging everyone. So when he would be writing to those devotees who are developing a farm community, say in Vrindavan, at that time he would tell them, you know, there is no service more important than the development of these farm communities, because they are going to be our centers of our alternative culture. That's what we want to show the modern culture, that you know, that we can live without technology. We live centered on Krishna. We can live simply and live happily. And then when there was a Gurukul starting in Dallas, Prabhupada wrote to the Gurukul administrators, you know, these children are not ordinary children. They are Vaikuntha children. They have been sent to us by Krishna. And taking care of them is such an important responsibility. There is no service more important than this. And then, of course, when the devotees were raising funds to build temples in India, especially in places like Mayapur or Vrindavan, you would say, you know, this is, Prabhupada said about Vrindavan, this is the Vrindavan temple, the heartbeat of ISKCON. So there is no project more important than the Vrindavan project. And then there would be book distribution. And the book distributor Prabhupada would say, there is no service that pleases me more, something that is more important than book distribution. So now every devotee can arrange for a battery of pet coats. It is the coats which support what we want to say. Or which support what we want to do. And it's good to have these coats. No doubt. But what we have to understand is that there is no service more important doesn't mean that there is no service as important. There is no service more important than this, but there can be many services as important as this. And all the services that we are doing, all the services help us move closer to Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada gave different definitions of success for us. And because we are all individuals, so we may be attracted by and inspired to fulfill different aspects of Srila Prabhupada's mission and vision. So some devotees may be attracted to build temples, some devotees may be attracted to say develop farm communities, some devotees may be attracted to, Prabhupada said that the Back to God magazine, this is the wheels, this is the backbone of our movement. So he said we need to have it going on. Some devotees may feel inspired, okay, I want to take up this service and do this service, most important for me. So like that, different people may have different things to say, different devotees may feel inspired to do different things in Krishna's service. And we have to be broad-minded enough to recognize that others can have a definition of success that is different from mine. So when we meet such devotees, what should we do? Actually, we shouldn't try to impose our definition of success on them, nor should we let them impose their definition of success on us. That means that if we have taken the guidance of senior Vaishnavas and we are doing a service which is helping fulfill the broad vision of Srila Prabhupada in some way, then we should be confident that this is the way I am serving Krishna and I will make spiritual advancement by this, and this is also tangible contribution which I am making. Of course, no contribution is very big, but it's small, but every contribution is significant. Small but significant contribution. So this is how I have been inspired to do, then it's not that if somebody else is inspired by something else, I should start feeling insecure. Am I actually doing service? There's no need for me to feel insecure. But at the same time, there's no need for me to make that person insecure. Oh, you are doing temple construction? What book distribution are you doing? Or no, you should do book distribution. There's no need to do like that. Let different devotees take up different aspects of Srila Prabhupada's mission and let them fulfill that, and in that way we can keep moving forward steadily, marching on and on in our journey towards Krishna. Now, this way we can have sajatiya snigdha. Snigdha means affectionate. Hajatiya means having the same mentality, same attraction, same kind of desire. Sajatiya. So that's how we need the association of devotees. Association of devotees that is like-minded, association of devotees that inspires us, and where we can all in a like-minded way move onwards towards Krishna. So the way I will feel inspired doesn't have to be the same in which somebody else has to feel inspired. But because all of us are individuals, and Krishna is an individual, but Krishna is an infinite individual. So Krishna can reciprocate with my individuality, and Krishna can reciprocate with somebody else's individuality also. And in that way, Krishna can attract everyone. And that's how we can move forward in devotional service. Steadily, rapidly, smoothly. Now, let's look at these items more. Residing in Mathura. When we talk about these items of devotional service, the five potency forms, these are the place where mercy resides, this is the place where special potency is available. Looking at the holy places. Now, what exactly happens in the holy places? Actually, there are three aspects to it. There is textual description, there is sensual perception, and there is devotional realization. All these three, when they combine, then there is an extremely potent experience. Let me explain what this means. Now, there has to be, we want sensory perception. When we go to a holy place, we want to see. Okay, this is the place where Krishna performed the pastime. This is the place where there's a temple. This is Govardhan Hill. Maybe this is the place where the Gopa friends of Krishna, they also put a stick when Krishna was lifting up Govardhan. They also wanted to assist, so they also put a stick over there. So like that, there are places where Krishna performed pastimes, and we want to see those places. So that sensory perception is important. Seeing those places is also purifying. We want to see the same Yamuna where Krishna performed pastimes. So seeing is definitely important, but seeing alone is not important. Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur would say that at one time in a holy place he went to the deity, he went to a temple and he took darshan from far away, and the devotees in the temple said, please come closer and see. He said from a far distance, he said that, you know, it is enough that the Lord has seen me. There is no need for me to see the Lord. I have come here as a servant and he has seen me and he has blessed me by his merciful eyes. That's enough for me. So of course, at other times he would indeed go close and take darshan of the Lord also. But the mood he was telling us through this particular example is that when we go in front, our mood is a mood of service. And even when we take darshan, the darshan is not like, it's not done with an enjoyment-ality, it's done with a serving attitude, service attitude. We want to engage our eyes in the devotional service of Krishna. And the way we do that is by letting the eyes meditate on each limb of Krishna, starting from his lotus feet upwards, and thereby purify our eyes and purify our heart. So this is the mood of a devotee. And when we go into the holy places, certainly there is sensory perception that we do, but along with another sensory perception itself may not lead to much benefit if there is no textual description. So there is sensory perception, there is textual description. The textual description can come from what we have read earlier, or it may come from the devotees who have read and they tell us about the holy place. And that's why some devotees, they may have gone to some holy places on pilgrimage alone earlier and they may have got some sweet experiences. But when they come later in the association of devotees, and then there is kirtan and there is hearing, and then it's a dramatically different experience. It's far deeper and richer because the bhakti potency is experienced. It becomes much more accessible when we come in the association of devotees and hear. So textual description, if we read books like Bhakti Ratnakar, in which there is a description of, say, the travels of the Lord's devotees, and when they come to a particular place, the main thing that happens is the devotees, when they see that place, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he would come to a particular place, he would not just see that place, he would remember, oh, what all are the pastimes that Krishna has performed over here. And those, as the thoughts of those pastimes would flood through his heart, then he would become overwhelmed to see. So how do the thoughts of those pastimes come? Of course, we can say he is the Supreme Lord and he always remembers those pastimes. He only performed those pastimes. That is true. But how will the same thing happen for devotees, especially sadhaka devotees like us? It will happen when we have heard about it. So we hear from the scriptures and we hear from those who have told us about the scriptures, told us based on the scriptures. And then when we see those wonderful places, so there is this external sensory perception that is there, then there is the textual description, and when we combine both of them and inject them with the devotion, then there is, what happens is there is devotional contemplation. When they, with the devotional attitude, Krishna, thank you, this is the place where you lifted Govardhan hill, thank you for descending to this world, thank you for performing such wonderful pastimes, thank you for allowing me to practice devotional service. And then we remember the details of the pastimes, what Krishna did, what the Gopas did, what the Gopis did, what Yashodamai did, and how Krishna acted. Then all this attracts our heart, and then the heart can become filled with ecstasy. So all these three have to be there for us to have the potent experience of the holy place. So now, for very advanced devotees, whether they are in Vrindavan or outside Vrindavan, their heart is so attracted to Krishna that even when there is no sensory perception, you know, they can just close their eyes and they can have recollection of their past sensory perceptions. Srila Prabhupada at one time was in America and a devotee had built a big temple for him, a big temple, and in that they had made a big room for him. And as soon as Prabhupada came there, oh Prabhupada, this room is so nice. It is just like my room in Radha Damodar temple. Now any of you have been to Radha Damodar temple, the rooms of Srila Prabhupada, which have been now taken over by ISKCON devotees are caring for it. I've been trying to care for it for a long time. So there the rooms are quite small actually. And the rooms that Srila Prabhupada had been provided in this temple were big, so they were a little puzzled. Now why is Prabhupada saying that? This is such a big room, majestic room, and this is just a tiny room. So why is Prabhupada saying that this room is just like that room? The point that Prabhupada was making was, that was the place where he was serving Krishna, that is the place where he is serving, this is also a room where he is going to serve Krishna. He is going to write about Krishna, speak about Krishna, meet devotees of Krishna and tell them about how to advance in Krishna consciousness. So the activity that Prabhupada was going to do was the same. And Prabhupada, when he saw this also, his heart was so much in Vrindavan, consciousness all the time, that even when he saw such a room, he saw what? A facility for glorifying Krishna. And he remembered the first facility that he had earlier when he was in Vrindavan. So that's how, for an advanced devotee, even if there is no sensory perception directly, here there is an indirect perception in the sense that there's another room which was serving the same purpose as the room which Vrindavan was serving. So even there is no sensory perception, there is indirect sensory perception, still there is immense, there is this flood of devotion that comes up. So we see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it is said that whenever he would see any forest, he would think, oh, this is Vrindavan. Whenever he would see any river, he would think this is Jamuna. Whenever he would see any hill, he would think, oh, this is Govardhan. And whenever he would think like this, his ecstasy would increase. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would run into the river and sometimes bathe in that river. So now when he's doing this, what is the meaning of this? Yes, he is experiencing ecstasy and there is some sensory perception which is not exactly the same as Vrindavan. If it were exactly, entirely the same, then Lord Chaitanya did not have to go to Vrindavan at all. You know, if he sees any river, any forest is Vrindavan, then he can just be in any forest and be happy over there. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was happy in that forest also because that forest reminded him of Vrindavan. But at the same time, he continued moving forward and ultimately, after trying many times, he did reach Vrindavan. And then, as Chaitanya Charitamrita describes, his ecstasy just became so high, so just overflooded completely in his heart. So that means that yes, there can be recollection of the holy places at different place, at other places also, and that recollection is also where it's a sign of devotion and it's also favorable for increasing our devotion. At the same time, it is not a substitute all the time. Now, devotees also want to go to the holy places. They want to take darshan in the holy places and they want to relish those holy places that way. So that is with respect to going to the holy places and relishing the remembrance of Krishna through sensory perception, scriptural description and devotional contemplation. When one does that, one can get special devotional experiences in those holy places, very intense, unforgettable experiences one can get. And after that, moving forward, if one sees, there is the five potent forms of devotional service, there is the going to the holy places, there is deity worship, there is the association of devotees, like-minded devotees. So let's look at deity worship. Now interestingly, Rupa Goswami gives a very enigmatic sort of prayer which is told by one gopi to others. The gopi say that, you know, if you are still attracted to your material life with family, friends and things like that, then don't go and see Krishna who is playing a flute on the Keshi Ghat. Now what does this mean? Actually, it's an indirect glorification. It's an indirect glorification that if one does this, what will happen by one's doing this? If one goes and beholds the beauty of Krishna, then that beauty of Krishna is so captivating that that captivation will cause our material infatuations to go away and we will no longer be attached to material things. So indirectly what it is saying is, please go and see Krishna in Keshi Ghat in Vrindavan, because then you will become free from your material attachments. But it is told in a poetic way, in an opposite way. Sometimes the way, poetic things are often said in an indirect way to convey not just the meaning, but to convey the meaning with sweetness. So with sweetness. So deity worship We have discussed earlier also about deity worship, about how deity worship gives us sensory experience of God. We can touch the deity, we can see the deity, we can bathe the deity, we can dress the deity. And in this way, we can get sensory experience of God through deity worship. And the glories of deity worship are talked about repeatedly in the scriptures. And these five potent forms of devotional service, Srila Prabhupada is incorporated into our morning program, which he gave in the temple, and which is also, which devotees at home also can do as much as is possible for them. So the idea is, if we see how are these five potent forms of devotional service there, in the morning program, it's centered around the deity. We have darshan of the deity, starting from Mangala Arati, then there is again Shringara Arati, then there is the Nama Sankirtan. So there is kirtan that happens repeatedly. There is kirtan that happens in all the pujas that is there. Then of course there is the chanting of the holy names in the form of japa also is there. And then we are in the association of devotees, we hear Srimad Bhagavatam over there. And then in the association of devotees, we render service to each other. So we are getting the association of devotees. And in the community of devotees, we will all find some devotees who are sajatiyasya, so some who are like-minded. And when we get the association of like-minded devotees, that takes the devotional ecstasy to a higher level. The devotional experience becomes richer in the association of like-minded devotees. And then there is going to a holy place. So going to a holy place happens at multiple levels. Srila Prabhupada would say, the temples are in Vaikuntha. He would often compare the temples with the material world. And he would say that certain places in the material world are in goodness, certain are in passion, certain are in ignorance. But the temples, is it the forests are generally in goodness, the cities are in passion, and even the cities, if there are degraded places like say brothels or wine houses and things like that, they are in ignorance. But the temples may be in cities, but the temples are in Vaikuntha. Why? Because the Vaikuntha activities are happening in the temple. Yatra gayanti madbhakta tatra tishthami narada. Yatra gayanti madbhaktaha. Where I am being glorified, tatra tishthami narada. There I reside, O Narada. Lord Narayan is telling Narad Muni that wherever I am being glorified, the temple is a place where the Lord is regularly glorified. There are the various kirtans are there. There are the classes, various classes are there. There are devotees who are trying to dedicate their life to Krishna. So naturally, there's a spiritual potency over there. So going to temple is also like going to a holy place. And that's why Srila Prabhupada wanted to create replicas. Where there was Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada wanted to create new Vrindavan, a place of pilgrimage in America. And like that, devotees have made different communities. There can be New Jagannath Puri. There can be, like that, there are different places all over the world where devotees try to replicate to some extent the mood of the holy places that are there. So of course, these, as I said earlier, our home deities, they're meant to expand our service to Krishna. They are not entirely equal substitutes of the temple deities. So like that, new Vrindavan is not exactly the same as Vrindavan. But still, one can get some glimpse of that. And like that, depending on the intensity and the purity of the devotional service that is performed at a particular place, that can give us also holy experiences. So going to a holy place, along with, say, going to the local temple or the local devotional retreat center that might be there, but going to the tirthas and dhams like Mayapur, Vrindavan, that is also very potent. At one time, Srila Prabhupada encouraged devotees to come to Mayapur during, say, the annual Mayapur festival. And some devotee leaders, some of the GBC, they said, Prabhupada, but sending devotees is, you know, it's expensive. So Prabhupada was quite annoyed by this answer. He said, you know, feeding prasad to devotees also is expensive. He said, are you going to stop that because it's expensive? No, he said, this is vital for the spiritual nourishment of devotees. And that's why we have to do it. So devotees try to go to yatras whenever possible. And nowadays, because ISKCON is such a big organization, so sometimes the Mayapur festival becomes very crowded. So some devotees may not go in the Mayapur festival. They may go for separate yatras. And the idea of yatras is, yatra should not be just taken as picnics. We are bored with our job and our home, and we just want a break, and we go for yatras. No, actually, yatra should be also done in the mood of service. And yatra should not become an escape way from our regular responsible service. We have services in our devotee community. We do those services. And then once in a while, we adjust those services and go for yatras also. And in that way, we can make steady spiritual advancement. Now, moving forward, when we look at these different items of devotional service, the five potent forms. Now, Srila Prabhupada gives, based on Rupa Goswami's text, various references for each of these items. And he especially concludes by saying that these five items, the last five items, they are, as I said, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, associating with devotees, worshipping the deity, chanting the holy names and going to a holy place. These are such potent forms of devotional service that even for a neophyte devotee, with the performance of these activities can evoke tremendous devotional feeling. So devotional feeling here refers to bhava bhakti, rising to the level of bhava bhakti. So that is the potency of these forms of devotional service. And the more we tap the potency, the more we can rapidly advance in devotional service. And Rupa Goswami in this way, actually Prabhupada is a representative, they remove the whole process of devotion from the realm of abstract feelings or intangible. Oh, devotion is just a feeling. You have to feel devotion for Krishna. Yeah, that is good, but how will that feeling come? Is it just that, just a longing for the feeling that will bring the feeling? Yes, longing is okay. Longing is okay, but along with the longing, what is also required is a process to bring about the changing. So the longing is good, but along with the longing, there has to be changing. A longing of the heart should be accompanied by a process for changing the heart. And a process for changing the heart involves exposing ourselves to all these devotional stimuli. When we expose ourselves to these devotional stimuli, by this, our heart becomes attracted to Krishna. We started this discussion by talking about amnesia. How a person who is forgotten can have the memory revived by exposure to stimuli from one's earlier life. Similarly, we can have our past, our memory revived by the practice of devotional service. So our memory of Krishna, which has been covered over, that can be revived. Nitya siddhasya bhavasya. So it was said that bhava which is there, which becomes awakened. That is the definition of sadhana bhakti, that we engage our senses in such a way that bhava which is dormant becomes awakened. And when that bhava becomes awakened, we make rapid spiritual advancement thereafter till we become purified, and then we move forward. So in our next class, we'll conclude this discussion and then we'll move on to spontaneous devotional service. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.